from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. When the time arrived for Elizabeth to have her child, she gave birth to a son. Her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown his great mercy toward her, and they rejoiced with her. When they came on the eighth day to circumcise the child, they were going to call him Zechariah after his father. But his mother said in reply, "No, he will be called John." But they answered her, "There is no one among your relatives who has this name." So they made signs, asking his father what he wished him to be called. He asked for a tablet and wrote, "John is his name." And all were amazed. Immediately his mouth was open, his tongue freed, and he spoke, blessing God. Then fear came upon all their neighbors as all these matters were discussed throughout the hill country of Judea. All who heard these things took them to heart, saying, "What then will this child be? For surely the hand of the Lord was upon him." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Lift up your heads and see, your redemption is near at hand. These are the proximate days in which we continue to lift up our heads, lifting up our minds to this greatness of this mystery. We lift up our hearts to the Lord. We lift up our hands. We lift up our lives. We make everything an offering to the Lord who's coming, raining down like dew from above. We go out to meet him as quickly as we can, wherever he is coming. In today's readings, we have that interplay that happens throughout Advent, with the precursor getting us ready, and then the embrace of the Lord when at last he comes, and then how that's supposed to change us in the third part of the dynamism of Advent, that once we have met the Lord, we're supposed to journey with him, living a new life with our heads, with our hearts, with our whole lives uplifted. In this reading from the book of the prophet Malachi, we have both depicted for us, "Lo, I am sending my messenger to prepare the way before me." Elijah, and Jesus would say in the gospel that if you can accept it, he is Elijah, speaking about John the Baptist. And they'd have a particular mission, to turn the hearts of fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers. This is the last part of the Old Testament. It's the last chapter of the last book. And that's what God wanted to have ready for the New Testament when at last it would come. To turn the hearts of fathers toward their children. To really think about what's greatest for the next generation, what's most important. To remind the Jews of what God had instructed them through Moses and Joshua before they crossed into the Promised Land, about the essential aspect of drilling into their children, about how to keep the Shema and loving God with all that they had, and how to love their neighbor and keep their end of the covenant. But also to turn the hearts of children to their fathers in mercy, to forgive them for the failings that parents may have done, in gratitude for all that the parents sacrificed, that the great way that we prepare to meet the Messiah is to recognize that the family trees, which are part of our history, are meant to be part of that divine orchard, that divine ingrafting onto Christ, the vine who is that new tree of life. It's the work of John the Baptist. And when he was circumcised, as we see today in the Gospel, there was that great manifestation of what the Lord would be wanting. Only fathers had and husbands had any rights at the time to name children. That is why in St. Matthew's version of the Nativity, as we'll hear tomorrow night at the vigil, Joseph was the one who was to name the Son of God, Yeshua, God saves. But here, everybody was expecting John to be named Zach Jr. And when Elizabeth shocked them by saying he will be named John and Zechariah confirmed it. It filled them all with amazement, not just at the name change, because it was always a custom at the time that you'd be named after someone whom you admired in your family or someone in the larger Jewish family. But for him to be named John meant in Hebrew, God does grace. God is constantly acting with his hesed, with his merciful love. If you're going to name someone God does grace, people would marvel, what then will this child be? And imagine if you were to be named God saves, what then would that child be? As we'll sing in 2 days, hymning the beautiful words, what child is this? John came as that precursor to get us ready. And then we see in the prophet Malachi that after the messenger would be sent to prepare the way, then suddenly there will come to the temple the Lord whom you seek. Suddenly, out of nowhere almost, he'll come. He'll be the messenger of the covenant we desire. Messenger of that great gift that the Lord is coming. He'll be the messenger not just with his words, but in his body. Yes, he's coming. And what will he do? It's the essential completion of the work of John the Baptist. John talked in all types of topographical terms of lowering the mountains and hills of our pride and vanity, filling up the valleys of an occasionally shallow prayer life or moral life, straightening out the crooked ways and smoothing out the rough ones. But that was all, in a sense, external work to get the debris out of the way when the long-awaited one, the desired one, would come, the Desideratus. He would refine like a refiner with fire, or make us white like a fuller's lye. It sit refining and purifying silver, so he will purify the sons of Levi, refining them like gold or silver, so that they might offer due sacrifice to the Lord. He's going to do the work on the inside, purifying us totally, so that we will go back to be the gold, the silver, whom he created us to be. Not just vessels of clay holding a treasure, but to restore us to the notion that we are that treasured to God. He treats us like human beings would treat gold and silver. And he always wants to bring us back to that type of purity. Precisely why? So that we might offer fitting sacrifice for the Lord. And what is that fitting sacrifice? St. Paul will talk about it in his 12th chapter of the letter to the Romans. The only logikē latreia, the only sacrifice that is fitting, is for us to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to the Lord, that spiritual worship. Today, as we come forward, we ask the Lord to purify us, to refine us, to bleach us, to recognize that God is always doing grace, his grace in us. We ask him to purify us in such a way that we might totally meet Christ in his total self-gift, which is what Christmas is celebrating. We ask the Holy Spirit to be sent so that we might fully lift up our heads and see that our Redeemer and our redemption is near at hand. And may he also help us today as we wonder about what John the Baptist would come and how great Jesus would be, to remember that he has given us a name too in his kingdom. Praise be Jesus Christ.